So if the repercussions of what we're seeing are the results, the fallout perhaps of pushing for this election on BN's side and sort of comeuppance, if you like, of what has happened in the Sheraton move with Usman Ali and perhaps other individuals like that, where does that leave Muhyiddin Yassin then? He seems to have come out of this relatively well, is that fair to say?
Yes and no. So the first thing is, if we go to opinion surveys, very much he comes across as one of the most popular senior Malay figures. And I think that people have some people have quite a good opinion of him in the early days of handling COVID. So he personally, I think his brand is good. The problem I think he's going to face is when we look at the numbers within the coalition, you know, he very much would have liked if Bersatu was the prime party within his coalition, Perikatan Nasional. Now this is not the case. And so it could be that he is the junior partner. And then, you know, what does that say about his ambitions to be PM?
But, you know, if you look at this election as a whole, it's really been an election about who will be the next prime minister, right? There have been calls and in the lead up to this, at least during the hustings, why is Anwar Ibrahim still there at the helm? Shouldn't he too have kind of moved on, made space for the younger generation like Rafizi Ramli and so on? He's power hungry. I mean, he's not been willing to step aside.
I think, you know, that is sometimes the assumption, and that's why people did see him initially as a liability. But somewhere along the campaign period, this seems to have changed. So initially, where Anwar's popularity seemed to be at an all-time low, and therefore Pakatan was suffering, about 2-3 days ago, it seems to have flipped. And so what has happened is, as you said, they were talking about the PM candidate. So between the three, so we're talking about more of the non-Malay voters. So you have the option of Anwar, Muhyiddin, and supposedly Ismail Sabri, but then many people believe that actually Zahid would take his place, right? So then people were looking at that and thinking, between these three, who do I want? And the best bet is Anwar, right? As the most appealing option over what we have. And that then flipped. So then you started to see the numbers of non-Malay voters going up. And then you started to hear people are thinking, okay, I'll go to vote because suddenly it looks like PH has a chance and maybe we can do it again this time, you know, that kind of sentiment. Muhyiddin, yes, he's popular, as Francis said, but on the Malay base, you know, there are those who are tired of corruption. There are those who don't want Zahid. And then Muhyiddin seems appealing because he does that religious fatherly figure very well. And this appeals to the Malay base. He's got to be an older male who can speak the religious verses, use the right phrases. You know, he was generous to the people who needed it, the middle class, the rural poor. And so he was head of the NCR, the COVID Recovery Committee. So these all boded well for him. And he's safe because we're not sure about Anwar. We don't really like Zahid. So for the broader Malay base, this is where we want to go. So now we have the final tussle, right, between the two. So I think it'll depend on who has the most seats to see who has the negotiating power and where Sabah and Sarawak, whether they work together or not, where they decide to go.